Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Andrew Farley on today's broadcast, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can reach us right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some issue you're dealing with and would like to discuss it, well, now's the time to call. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and Andrew Farley, great to have you on the broadcast today. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, great to be here, Bob.
Yeah, well, we are here to serve our listeners, and let's do something a little bit different today. Instead of talking for a while, let's dive right into listener calls, because we have several we'd like to get to. And the first one's going to come from Charles in Albertville, Alabama. He says, I've been listening to you for a while on YouTube and heard you talk about tithing. While serving overseas in the military, I really felt the draw to get back into church, and once I retired from the Marine Corps, I found a church close to my home that I really like. The pastor does a series of sermons on tithing every January, which made me study the subject. I've concluded that that is Old Testament law and not for Christians today. Well, I revealed this to my pastor months ago, and this past Sunday, he stated in his sermon that if you don't believe in tithing, he doesn't see how you can be a Christian. To be honest, that angered me. Should I leave this church? I just really feel bad about the decision, and I feel like that I'm going to have to make. That's from Charles in Albertville, Alabama.
Wow. Well, that is quite a statement there, Bob. I mean, you know, the idea that we can't be a Christian if we don't believe in a mandated 10% that needs to be paid every single week or every month, and then you get into, well, is that before taxes or after taxes, and where does this 10% idea come from, and right. Then are we buying our sonship? Because that's certainly what it sounds like, that I can't be a Christian unless I've bought my sonship through a 10% tithe. And you look at the reality of this, I mean, just do a quick search in the New Testament, and you are hard-pressed to find even half a dozen passages with the word tithe in there. Mm-hmm. And when you examine these, Bob, first you find Matthew 23, Jesus is chastising Pharisees about their inconsistency. He's calling them hypocrites. He says, you're doing your tithing, but you're neglecting the more important matters of the law. Now, what I would point out there, Bob, is he's calling tithing a matter of the law.
Yes.
And that is exactly what Charles was proposing in his question, and he's 100% right. Minus a 10% tithe, of course. But yes, he is right on that, my friend, because tithing was a matter of the law. It was designed to fund the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. They were representing Israel to God. And so the other tribes were giving a percentage. And when you do the math, it's actually way more than 10%. When you do
right.
the math, it comes out to 22.5% or 23%.
Quite a bit.
When everything is factored in. So first of all, many of us in church today, we've got the percentage wrong. Second of all, we've got the covenant wrong. We're referring to something that is Old Testament when we are New Testament believers. So whether it's Matthew 23 or Luke 11 or Luke 18, Jesus is confronting these hypocrites who think they're doing awesome. They think they're supposed to beat their chest about their law keeping, and he is putting them in their place. And that's it. That's all we have for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then, Bob, you go to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You get the idea. All the way through the New Testament letters, there are zero instances of a mandated tithe for New Testament believers.
Right.
So people say, well, then what should I do? Well, give freely from the heart, not under pressure, not under compulsion, not reluctantly, but also not under pressure. So we find this beautiful place where there is no number to hit, there is no benchmark to reach. Instead, we're being motivated and inspired by Christ living in us. And so that's the short answer to Charles's question, is that tithing is indeed something from the Old Testament. Now, as far as leaving a church, I would say visit with this pastor, make sure you understood him correctly.
Sure.
Are you saying, sir, that I must give 10% of my income in order to be a child of God? Are you saying that if I have a different opinion about tithing and grace giving, that I am not a child of God? Because that certainly sounds like what you said in your message, and I just want to get clarification. So, you know, Bob, it's always healthy to get that clarification, but my goodness, if somebody is saying that we buy sonship, that is a pretty significant error, my friend.
Without question. And Charles, hope you're listening and hope this is a help to you. It's a wonderful answer, and Andrew, thank you for that. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Open lines at 844-322-2742. And Andrew, we had this call that came in live from Aaron in Franklin, Texas. Let's go talk to Aaron right now. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got a question for Andrew. My question is, when Paul was praying for the Ephesians in chapter 3, Paul prayed that they might be strengthened by his spirit with might in the inner man, in their inner man. What is our inner man? Is that the human spirit, or is the inner man our soul, our mind, emotions, and will? And I'm going to hang up and listen to the answer. What is the inner man?
All right, Aaron, great question. Well, first of all, I think we're going to get some good understanding here, Aaron, by asking what the outer man is as well. When we look at Paul's lingo, when we look at his verbiage, he's talking about the outer man decaying. And, of course, that refers to the human body. And then inner man would be everything else. So to answer your question directly, it's all of the above. Is it spirit? Is it soul? Is it mind, will, and emotions? Is it the renewing of the mind? Is it learning and growing? Is it emotional healing? Is it learning truth over time? Absolutely. All of the above. It is the grace of God that strengthens us, and we're told in another place to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we do recognize, Aaron, that at our core, we're not needing any more of Jesus. We don't need more download of God's Spirit. We have everything we need for life and godliness. The Bible tells us that we're complete, we're lacking nothing, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and yet we are being strengthened. We are learning and growing. I mean, just rewind to 5 years ago, if you were a believer at that time, versus now, and the stability and the surety, the assurance that you have now compared to then. Why has there been a transformation in your thinking? Because the truth sets you free.
Yeah.
And so, Bob, it's an exciting adventure to be strengthened by God's Spirit in the inner man. And when it comes to the question of is it the soul, is it the mind, is it the will, is it the emotions, well, God's Spirit has an influence on all those things.
Sure.
My will, the choosing in my life begins to change. The feelings in my life over time, they may begin to change. My thinking in my mind, it begins to change. So thinking and feeling and choosing, it is all affected as we are strengthened by God's grace.
Yes, indeed. Well, Aaron, hope you're listening as you hung up the phone there, and always good to hear from you, brother, and hope you'll reach out and call us again. And Andrew, recently we've been talking a lot about the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. And to our listeners, if you have not yet subscribed, we think you're missing an opportunity to begin each new day with encouragement out of the Word of God. For instance, subscribers received the devotional email early this morning that examined the topic of prayer. Now, many times its purpose and application are misguided, but Bob Christopher points to the readers to the one who is the true object of our prayers. Bob explains that prayer is more than a religious ritual. It's an actual communication with our God, and this is the only one and this is the one and only subject that Bob addresses every day in the Basic Gospel Devotional. What I'm trying to say is this is only one of the ones that he addresses. He addresses many topics every day. So, friends, don't delay. Click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the Basic Gospel website. That's basicgospel.net. And start each day with the refreshing water of the Word. Again, you'll find the subscribe link on every page of the website, top left corner at basicgospel.net. Well, it is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742, and Andrew, we had this call that came in from a YouTube viewer, actually a question, written question. How do I not fear death?
Yeah, well, that is certainly a common fear. And you know the old joke that some people are more scared of doing the eulogy. They'd rather be in the coffin. But fear of public speaking and fear of dying, they are pretty big on our list near the top. And, you know, the Bible speaks to this. I mean, there's a passage in Hebrews that says that we are subject to the fear of death all our lives, and that's just a very human thing. And in Hebrews 2, it says that Jesus frees us from that. It says he frees those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And you say, well, how did he do it and why did he do it? Well, he did it by sharing in our humanity. That's what Hebrews 2 teaches us, that God invaded our world in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. He lived, he suffered, he went through everything we go through, he died. And then what he gifted us with, Bob, is a perfect love. And he says that perfect love will cast out our fear. So somebody can do things to our body will perish, it will go into a coffin, it will turn into Miracle-Grow as it decays, but we never die. In fact, that's what Jesus says about the children of the resurrection, that we never die. Paul calls it falling asleep, because that's exactly what it is to a believer. Mm-hmm. We fall asleep, we wake up, we're in the presence of the Lord, and nothing about who we are has been diminished.
Right.
In heaven, you're going to be the same exact person you are today. You'll have a personality, hobbies, interests, sense of humor. God loves you, and God likes you, and it's the same you in heaven that is you right now. And I think a lot of Christians, we kind of overlook that. We imagine God is going to have a last-minute spiritual squeegee and just clean us up and change us. And yes, we're getting new bodies, of course, but we're not going to get a new spirit. We're not going to get a new soul. We're going to be out of the presence of sin and out of this world and enjoying God, and it's really going to be us. I mean, we're raised and seated now. We're one spirit with the Lord now. And what he's trying to say is, I love you, I like you, I embrace you, and you need to know that. So as far as fearing death, a good, healthy view of that, my friend, is recognizing that it's nothing more than sleep. And as far as that final judgment, well, it's the perfect love of God that says, you are as Jesus. You are as safe as Jesus. You are as secure as Jesus. John writes and he says, we can have a confidence in the day of judgment because as Jesus is, so also are we. So Jesus is not quaking in his boots about the final judgment, and we don't have to either. We are as safe and secure as Jesus himself.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thank you for that. And it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for being with us. Andrew, we had another call that came in live. Let's talk to Barry. Hi, Barry. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Hey, brother, I just want to ask you, 1 Timothy 2:15, what does that mean about women getting saved through childbirth? Can you please?
Yes. It is such a difficult passage to understand apart from understanding the context here, my friend. We back up a few verses, and it says that Adam was created first, and everybody says, well, of course, I knew that. I've read Genesis. I knew that my whole life, ever since I've been in Sunday school. Adam was created first. Why are you saying this, Paul? And then he says, Adam was not the one who was deceived, but the woman was deceived. And we say, well, Paul, I knew that too. I've read my Bible stories. I knew that from Genesis. And then lastly, the part you're asking about, he says women will be saved through the bearing of children. And again, you just want to scratch your head and say, Brother Paul, you've told us all over the New Testament that a man or a woman is saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, not by having kids. If anything, having kids is going to make it harder, right? But that's not going to save us. So what's going on here? Well, there's three things that Paul is correcting, and he's giving great advice to this young pastor Timothy. Young Pastor Timothy has been told by a neighboring cult, which is worshiping the goddess Diana and really trying to create a matriarchal society where women lead. Well, they have been pushing these heresies that Eve was created first, that Adam was created second, and so Paul is correcting that in verse 13. Then this cult was teaching that the woman was smarter than the man, that Eve was never deceived, it was only Adam, and therefore women are smarter and brighter and less deceived than men. That was the heresy, and Paul is correcting that one in verse 14. And so then lastly, we see the third heresy, so to speak, that Paul is correcting. This same cult taught that women should not bear children, and that it was either too dangerous or it was too meaningless, and that they should instead preserve their lives for leading society. It was an early women's liberation movement, and it was women who were seeking to overrun things, including the church where Timothy was pastoring. So with that in mind, Paul is saying that women are going to be fruitful and have a good life through the bearing of children, because what matters is faith and love and trust in the Lord. That's what matters, no matter whether we have kids or not. So Paul is overturning these three false belief systems in three consecutive verses here in 1 Timothy 2. So that's what it's about. That word saved there is talking about a preservation, that it's not dangerous. It's talking about a fruitful life that women can have in having a family. It's not talking about spiritual salvation. So I hope that brings you the clarity you're looking for, my friend. And please reach out to us again and call us back anytime.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. Good to hear from you, brother. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I want to remind you that to build your maturity and understanding as a child of God, we encourage you to visit the online store at basicgospel.net. There you'll find books, Bible study guides, and Bibles, and CDs, DVDs, all designed to help you grow in the grace of God. And you'll find it all under the resources menu at basicgospel.net. Well, Andrew, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yeah, this is Glenn from Northern California, and I had the Holy Ghost blow right through me and holler, run, hide. And I believe in God, the Trinity. I just have a hard time reading, but nobody wants to believe me. They just all think I'm crazy when I try to tell people really what happened. And since then, in 2015, June 18th at 4:45, since then, the Holy Ghost and God and Jesus, they've all been totally turning me around. But that's my question. How do I get over that? How do I tell people something that just they don't understand? I don't understand, but I know it's real. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a very interesting statement there by Glenn, Bob. You know, he says, how do I get over this? So clearly it's been traumatic for him. He says the Holy Ghost blew through him, and then the Holy Ghost had a message for him, and that message was run and hide.
Run and hide, yeah.
And so you got to say, well, run and hide from what? Run and hide from the Lord? Well, that's certainly not what we're told in God's Word. We're told that we can have confidence in our time of need, that we can approach God with boldness. So it's the opposite of that run and hide message. And then you say, blew through me. Well, wait a minute. I mean, the New Testament relationship with the Holy Spirit is not a blowing on or a blowing through, but it is an indwelling and a sealing. And so what I would say is that we have to be very careful about what we have, quote unquote, experienced emotionally, because the enemy is happy to give us a counterfeit experience that goes against the Word of God.
Without
you better believe it, Bob, that,
yeah,
you know, if there are pagan religions out there and if there are alternatives to Jesus out there, which really are no alternatives, but if the enemy is masquerading parading through false religions, then certainly there are experienced chasers who are appeased in some way by the enemy. I'm thinking of movements that they talk about a tingling in their stomach. They talk about feelings in their hands. They talk about getting clear emotionally. They flop around on the floor like a fish. They go forward being knocked over. Again and again, there are experienced chasers who are not unlike those who would dance around those pagan campfires round and round trying to get God's favor and keep his favor, maybe with a crop that year. Well, when we see the New Testament message, you know, what is God's real message for Glenn here? Well, the message is, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. And so when I indwell you, you are sealed. And I'm not asking you to run and hide. I'm asking you to approach me with boldness and confidence. I'm not saying that I'm going to give you an experience that you're going to have to, quote, get over because it's terrified you. No, the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 says that. God is not the author of fear. And so when we recognize that, then we can start to filter everything through his perfect agape love. And so I might get a feeling, I might have some sort of emotional experience, but I'm not going to build a doctrine on it. I'm not going to build a belief system around it. I'm going to go back, Bob. I'm going to go back to God's word and say, if I am one with Christ, vine and branches, sealed in him, if he'll never leave me, if I can approach him with boldness, if he's not the author of fear, then what was that? It was a counterfeit, not of God, and I am free to ignore it and free to move on, fixing my eyes on Jesus Christ.
Glenn, thanks for reaching out, brother. Call us again, contact us again if we can help further. From Los Angeles, Andrew, this question from Johnny says, I asked Christ into my heart at the age of 18, so most of my sins and turning away have been since that age. Now at age 75, how can I know that Hebrews 6 doesn't mean that I am a lost soul? These verses really scare me.
Well, first of all, they're not for a believer. Here in chapter 6 of Hebrews, it says these folks have been enlightened. That means the light bulb has gone on for them. They're starting to see the truth. Then it says they've tasted of the heavenly gift. It doesn't say they've swallowed. They haven't ingested. They haven't taken in. They have merely tasted of this gift. And then they've seen all that the Holy Spirit is doing in Jerusalem. These are Hebrew readers, so they are surrounded by people like Peter, James, and John, who have, by God's power, engaged in incredible miracles that were works of God. It says they've shared in that. They've tasted, not swallowed, but tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. But after experiencing that appetizer of the gospel, they fall away. What do they fall away to? Well, they fall away to Hebrew religion. They fall away to Judaism. And so that's why the analogy here is there's ground that does drink in the rain. That's Christians. But then there's other ground that rejects the rain. It yields no crop. It yields no fruit. And those are unbelievers. And Bob, that is precisely why the author ends this way. He says, but beloved, talking to Christians, he says, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, things that go with your salvation. So that's the takeaway for John. John, if you're in Christ, you will experience better things in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no need for fear. There's no need for confusion about this passage. If you're in Christ, you are in him forever. And Bob, that's a promise that we can take now and into eternity with us.
Without question. Andrew, thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful advice to these listeners. And we appreciate so much everybody tuning in today for Basic Gospel as Andrew's joined me. And if you have questions you'd like us to answer and can't get to us during the live broadcast, well, leave us a voicemail overnight at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. That's why we're here. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Also, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program each day from either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, again, thanks to everyone who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and your gifts. And for this final week, when you make your gift, we would like to say thanks for standing with us by sending you a copy of our CD series called The Top 10, Bob Christopher's Very Favorite Passages. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Of course, that's basicgospel.net and the very big prominent link right there on the home page. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with special thanks to Andrew Farley for serving with me today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.